Turn to Job chapter 1. Have you ever felt like that all you have is the Lord? All you have is God? Now, most of us, I'll be honest, probably have not really gotten to that point. Those who have probably didn't stay there long. At least, I guess I'll say it this way. I hope not, anyway. But then I think, boy, that's a good place to be when you realize he's the only hope you have. Because when we are at the point where he's the only hope we have, we find out he is the only hope we need. He really is enough by himself. Is God enough when all you have is God? I want to try to preach this evening on God only. God only, or if you want to say it, only God. When he seems like he's the only one you have, the only place to turn. Verse 21, we'll just read that to jump in. Job says, and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb. Naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And I'll be honest, at that point, he's doing pretty good under the circumstances. I really don't know if I'd do that well after he's lost everything he's lost in just a matter of hours. And literally, he's going to come to the point to where he feels like the only one he has is God, and even worse than that, even though he knows it isn't true, even though he knows God is there, it seems like he isn't. I say first, is God enough when your finance is depleted? Most of what I say to begin with will be very familiar with. In the first few verses of chapter 1, beginning reading in verse 13, it talks about how that his finances are depleted. And that's not saying much for me or most of us here. But Job was a rich man. He had then 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camel and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 donkeys. And the Bible says he was the greatest man in all the East. And all of a sudden, instantly, it's gone. And you think about, well, just trust God. Well, you try that. If you lost everything you had, we could say pretty much that's what Job did. Surely he still has his dwelling, but all the finances suddenly depleted and gone. I ask you this. When your finances are low and all you have is that God said he would take care of you, is that enough? Some of you have never been there. I don't know if I want to say I feel sorry for you or not, because being there is not much fun. I have. Where we ate the last thing in the house, literally the last thing, and it wasn't too good. I'll tell you what was left that was last. Surely wasn't what I'd have picked if I'd chosen the menu for the night. There have been times in my life I have been without financially, but I didn't know this. I found out I had a Father. I had a God who has everything I need. But I want to ask you, if you lost everything, would just God be enough? Is God enough when your finances are depleted? Some didn't think so during the Great Depression. When they lost everything they had, a lot of them jumped off buildings, took guns, and blew the brains out. They either didn't know God or didn't know God enough to realize that God is enough when everything's gone. Job not only found out that God was enough when his finances were depleted, But also, not only finances depleted, but is God enough when family is dead? He lost his sons and his daughters all at one time. Only one left behind was the wife. He probably wished she'd gone too. But she is hurting too, by the way. She'd lost her children and everything too. And I'll take up for a little bit. Didn't excuse what she said, because she's wrong, but I do understand. Here's a man. Hey, now listen. He loved his children. He prayed for his children. He begged God to take care of his children, and all of a sudden, they're gone. And that he had loved and had meant a lot to him, had helped him and assisted him, relied on him, all of a sudden it's gone. Is God going to be enough now? Just God, when you have only God and nothing else, is it enough? What about finances depleted and family is dead? What about when your flesh is diseased? All of a sudden, Job begins to get sick. And it's not just a little rash. I'm talking about boils from head to toe. Talking about agony. I'm talking about putrefied. I'm talking about something where the only thing he could do to get some relief is get a piece of potsherd and scratch those old places and open up the pus and try and get a little bit of relief, release some of that putrefied infection. Is God going to be enough when you have that sickness? If you don't get well, and you have to trust God through your sickness, is he going to be enough then? Is God enough when flesh is diseased, when we are sick, when we feel bad, when we feel really bad and doesn't get any better, when the pain doesn't lessen, when the sickness isn't going to go away? It's there and you know it's there for life. Is God enough when finances depleted and family is dead and flesh is diseased? And what about this, when friend is deserting? His friends come, and I'll tell you, I stay along with Brother Brian. He has some good friends. I don't know many that sit with me 7 days just because I was suffering. Maybe 7 hours, 7 minutes. And I wouldn't appreciate that, but these friends were friends that just didn't understand. And if we didn't have the book, neither would we. If we didn't have this book, we'd say, Job, you have had to sin somehow. Why don't you go ahead and confess and get some relief, just like they thought. Because this was such a bad situation, humanly speaking. Even among the spiritual brethren, you'd say Job had to mess up somehow. He has to have something hidden in his life, because God is not going to treat any of his children this way if there isn't sin. But listen, God did treat his child that way, and there was no sin. Is God going to be enough when you don't have any friends? I'll tell you, most of us rely at least a little bit on friendship. Sometimes we may get real big and real spiritual and say we don't need anybody, but that ain't really the truth. You tried when they start running off and leaving you and turning their back on you. And when you need a friend and they aren't there. And you long for somebody to call and the phone doesn't ring. And you'd give your arm for a card in the mail, and the postman rides right on by and smiles and waves. I'll tell you one thing, there are times every one of us need a friend to be a friend. And what if you don't have any? Those who no doubt cared about Job, and Job cared about them, but they misunderstand, and instead of being a blessing, now they are a burden. Now he wishes they would just hush and go away. Is God going to be enough when you don't have a friend in the world, when nobody seems to care, when somebody who used to be your friend is more of a burden than a blessing? Is God enough when we don't have anything else? When finance is depleted and the family is dead and flesh is diseased and friend is deserting and, listen, father is distant. One of the things he wrestled with, I'm trying to get to my message. May take me a while. Probably won't take me long once I get there, and we all hope so. There came a time when Job's biggest burden was the fact that he could not find God. Bad enough that his family's gone and his friends are bad and his flesh is ailing and his finances are gone. But if he can just find God, he can get some help. But we find in Job 23, verse 3, he says, "Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come into his seat." It seemed like, and he knew it in his heart, it wasn't so. But everything about his life and everything about what's going on seemed like God was a long way off. And I knew, says Job, that he wasn't. And I knew I could rely on him. And I knew I could trust him, but I couldn't feel him. I couldn't find him. And it just seemed like that I needed the most wasn't there. What about when God says, "I'm just going to back off for a while. I'm not only going to let you suffer, but I'll let you suffer seemingly alone." He is God, the God we know who does not desert and does not run away. The God who we know loves us even in the dark times. That God, is that God enough? If that's all you have? All you have is this. I know my Bible tells me God loves me. I know my Bible tells me God won't forsake me. And even though it seems like he has, I still must believe him. Is that enough? Is that enough? What about this? Finance is depleted and family is dead and flesh is diseased and friend is deserting and father is distant. Listen, what about when faith is diminishing? All the way through the first few verses, we find a man strong in faith, hurting, devastated, ripped apart. But he's trusting God. He's believing God. I read it in verse 21. "Oh, my goodness. Blessed be the Lord. He hath given and he hath taken away. But I still say, bless his name." His faith is still high here. But read through the book. This man of faith, this man of dependence. Boy, he's taken down to nothing. Where it is as he were, he's crying and crawling around and groping for some type of hope or help. And his faith keeps diminishing and lessening. And he says in verse 4 of chapter 40, "Behold, I am vile. Why shall I answer these?" Talking to God now. He has been lowered. He has been lessened. He has been broken. He has been devastated. And he says, "I will lay mine hand upon my mouth. I have been quick to talk to God and about God. I have been quick to offer my opinion and express my feelings to people and to my God." But he says, "Now I'm just going to shut my mouth. Who am I to say anything?" I'm telling you, his faith is diminishing. He is getting low. And when it seems like you have no faith, when it seems like you can't find God and he's deserted you, is he enough then? When your faith, that used to be strong and you knew your God was going to help you, when it doesn't seem like he's coming through, is he enough by himself then? I remember a time that back when I upholstered, the job that I had ran out. Boy, I want to tell you, those first couple of days, I thought, my God's going to provide me a job. I'm not worried. And I'm telling you, we were paycheck to paycheck back then. You didn't miss many paychecks if you wanted to live. If you wanted to stay where you were, you better find a job in a hurry. The first few days, I was full of faith. I applied, and back then, you did something smart. Not like these dumb things nowadays where you never get to talk to anybody. You went into a place and you applied. And I went to place after place after place after place. No, 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 no. I'm going to tell you one thing. Several days later, my faith wasn't near as big. I got to where I was almost ready to go to McDonald's or Hardee's because I'm telling you, bills are coming due. And food's going to run out. And we had some kids running around. They wanted to eat. And honestly, I was riding down Ward Street, and I saw a building over to the right and said, Mattress Company. I thought, I'm pulling in there. I'm going to apply. I don't care what they make. I'm about ready to work for the bootlegger, if that's what it took. And I walked up to that place, and old Hugh was standing out there. And I said, are you taking applications for a job? He said, what are you, a rag tacker? And boy, I thought, this ain't no mattress place. And I said, yeah. And he hired me as an upholsterer. I'll tell you what, it was the best job I ever had up to that point other than one other man. And I thought, boy, God let me get to the bottom before he gave me what I needed. My faith was diminished. My faith was gone, and right in time, my God came because he knew what I needed all the time. When all you have is God, if God doesn't move, you are in trouble. When all you have is some, I use this word carefully, some hope that somehow God will be merciful. And it seems like he's not going to. And you believed him and trusted him, but it hasn't happened. And you think, God, if you don't do something, I'm going to die. Is God enough then? And Job was finding that out. And I say this, and really I've gotten to my message. What? See, Job didn't lose everything. He could have. Had he not trusted God, had he not depended on that only God that could help him at his lowest, he could have lost a whole lot more. He could have lost his respect. Job was a rich man, a businessman. He had the respect of all the town. He was a family man. He had great respect for those who loved family. He was a spiritual man. He was a godly man. He had great respect for those who loved God. When he walked to town, when he came to town, everybody elbowed and said, hey, look, there's Job. The businessmen said, boy, I wish I could do business like Job does. He was respected everywhere. The rich in the community, the poor in the community appreciated Job. They looked, and here comes Job. Oh, the wives looked at Job and said, I sure wish my husband was like Job. I wish he loved me like Job loved his wife. The children looked at Job and said, I wish Job was my daddy. I wish I had a daddy like Job. Job loves his children. He had a great respect through all the community. And when he came through town, everybody said, look, 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 here comes Job. But he could have lost that respect. Had he not walked with God when he felt like God was gone, he lost that respect. Had he failed God when he got to the bottom, he lost that respect. Oh, what if he had sinned? What if he had listened to his wife and cursed God and given up? He lost that respect. He lost a lot, but he could have lost more. He did not lose any respect. Think of how different it would be had he failed God when he walked to town the next time. They say, oh, look here too. Look who's coming. Here comes Job. Wonder what happened to Job. wonder how in the world he let that happen. Remember what he used to be? Boy, you talk about Facebook lighting up. Talking about being the latest gossip. Talking about everybody disrespecting Job. Listen, his testimony would have been scarred beyond repair. He could have lost a whole lot more than he did had he not trusted when he had only God. If he hadn't trusted God, depended on him, and walked straight, he'd have lost a whole lot more. He'd have lost his respect. To be honest, he'd have deserved it. He would have deserved that lack of respect. Job could have lost a whole lot more than he did. He could have lost his respect. He could have lost his record. I'm reading something that happened thousands of years ago. I got a question. Thought about this on the way to church tonight. Who do you know that's recorded what they did thousands of years ago? Not many. I do know this. There's billions who did stuff yesterday. We don't know one thing in the world about it. Their record is forever gone. Most people, they're forgotten 10 minutes after their funeral. Their record doesn't mean a thing because they didn't do a thing. They didn't walk with God. They didn't serve God. They didn't love the children and love the family and love God and walk with God through troubles and trials like Job did. But he did, and his record is pure. Even my brother James, 2,000 years ago, said this, "But behold, we count them happy which endure." He said, you want me to tell you about somebody who can tell you about being happy? It's not the person who doesn't go through anything. Here's what he said. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job. That's his record. And have seen the end of the Lord. The Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. James said over 2,000 years ago, about somebody who lived about over 2,000 years before that, and probably 4,000 years before that. Boy, you want to talk about somebody who had patience. Look at Job. His record. We're reading about him tonight. I'm talking about him tonight thousands of years after he did this, because he said, if I lose everything I have, and I even feel like in my mind I've lost God, I know I haven't. I'm just going to trust him. His record would have been so different. Instead of like James saying, oh, let me tell you, let me give you an example. Let me teach you the lessons of patience and happiness and endurance. Look at Job. He would have said, let me show you how to fail. Let me show you how not to do. Job's record would have been so different. He lost a lot, but he would have lost more. He would have lost his respect, and he would have lost his record. How will you be remembered? He not only would have lost his respect and his record, but he would have lost his reward. Job gained a whole lot. He lost a lot. Sure he did. But he gained a whole lot. And had he failed God, he would have lost all that reward. I don't know what God would have done by replacing children or finances or anything like that. But I know this, I believe because Job was faithful, God was able to bless. Job 42 verse 5, he says, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye hath seen thee. Job said, I used to think, God, that I knew you. But I realize now I just knew you, as Brian said this morning, secondhand. Now you've brought me through this. You've helped me when it felt like I didn't have anybody but you. And now I want to tell you, oh, I've seen you face to face myself. That was a reward. God gave him grace to endure. That was his reward because he was faithful. God, through the midst of it, kept propping Job up. Job wasn't a super saint. Job didn't have some secret formula. Job had God, and that's all. Job found out if you only have God, that's enough. God, one of his rewards was from God that God gave him grace. He wasn't a super saint, but he had a super God. You ever experienced God's grace through your trials? You ever got so depleted, so weak, so anemic that you felt like you had nothing but God? I'll tell you, if you ever gotten there, you'll find out you do have God. Is he enough when you have only him, when everything else, everybody else is gone? Genesis 15:1 says, "Fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." I sure do like that. God said to Abram, "Don't you be afraid. I'm your reward. I'm giving myself to you. I'll be with you during the trials. I'll be with you during the burdens. Finance is good. Friends good. Family good. Blessing good. Health good. But that is useless without God." And God said, "My blessing to you, my reward for you being faithful is I'll be there. I'm going to be your reward. I'll give you me." And that's what Job had in the worst trial we could ever imagine. Job learned, I can trust God even when it doesn't seem like he's around. I can depend on his help. I'm telling you, he would have lost that. He lost that reward had he failed God, had he not trusted God. That reward of God giving him grace to go through another day. Well, it's bad enough to go through it with his grace, but what if you go through it without his grace? His reward right then, present tense, was grace to endure. His reward was an earthly reward also. God gave him in the end. God restored him. In Job 42:10, let's read it. Just listen, you don't have to turn if you don't, unless you want to. "And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before." And it goes through all the things that God gave Job. Not only restored Job, but gave more than, didn't you hear it? Twice as much. That was a reward for Job's faithfulness. He lost that reward had he not been faithful. Had he not trusted God when it seemed like God was gone. Had he not kept walking with God when it seemed like there was no use. He'd have lost the reward of that grace to endure. He'd have lost the reward of the blessings that came on earth. God blessed Job twice as much. It's pretty good dividends. He lost that. Not only did he have the reward of grace to get through the problems he was facing and the reward of being blessed in the end, but he had eternal, and by the way, still reaping the eternal rewards, everlasting rewards. And when we're faithful and walk with God through trials and burdens, and if it seems like he's the only one you have and you're faithful, there'll be eternal rewards. And did you hear what I said? Eternal. Everlasting. The donkeys that God gave Job in reward eventually died. And the goats and everything God gave Job back then died. But the rewards that he gave him eternally still are going on. 1 Timothy 4:8. Godliness is profitable. That's what I'm talking about. Walking with God when it seems like he's gone. Godliness is profitable unto all things, having a promise of the life that is now, is right now. He promises to sustain us. And that which is to come, he says, I'll give you rewards now and I'll give you rewards then. That's what Job experienced. 1 Peter 4:13. But rejoice in that much of you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. He says, you just be faithful now while you're suffering, And when you see him, you'll say, yay, oh, yippee, I'm so glad I stood. You'll be glad then with exceeding joy. Have you ever done something you didn't want to do? And when it finally came out the whole end of the wash, you said, oh, boy, I sure am glad I did that. Oh, I'm glad I did it. Well, I want to tell you, multiply that a million times. And when we walk with God in this world, when we see him, we'll be glad with exceeding joy. Matthew 5, 11, 12. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. He said, when people make fun of you because you stand for God, you ought to just get along somewhere and laugh a little bit. Smile inside, because he said, there's a reward waiting for you. I'm talking about Job could have lost his reward. The grace to sustain him then. The rewards that came after the trial was over. But the eternal rewards that are still going on. He's still right now in heaven enjoying the rewards of being faithful when it seemed like God was gone. Romans 8, 17, if so be that you suffer with him, we shall also be glorified together. 2 Corinthians 4, for which cause we faint not, but though now our outward man perish, this old man getting beat up, this body's getting beat up, this mind's getting tormented, yet the inward man is renewed day by day, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look now at the things which are seen in this world today now, for the things which are not seen, for the things which are not seen are temporal. For which the things are seen is temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. He said, don't look at what you see now. Look at what's ahead. Job could have lost his reward. Close with this thought. He was constructing a building made of stone. Magnificent structure. Pinnacles, and archways, and a thing of magnificence. And the stonemason was working beside the building. And somebody came up and watched him working, and he looked at the stone that the stonemason was chipping away and forming. And he looked at the building, and he saw no place for it. No spot, no empty spot. And he asked the stonemason, what in the world are you doing? Where in the world does this piece fit in? The stonemason said, look way up there at the top of the highest pinnacle. You see that flat spot? He said, I am forming this piece to fit up there. And that's what God's doing. He chisels us down here, and it hurts, and it's difficult, and it's hard. But he's making us down here where we'll fit up there. So I say, go ahead and chisel, God. It does hurt me, but beat away. I do wonder sometimes, but don't hold the blowback. Break off the rough edges. Smooth off the rough places. Break off the jagged ends. Do a thorough job on me now when I can enjoy the benefit then and not now. If you don't have anything but God, is that enough? Job found out, and I believe he comes back tonight and says, yes, he is. If all you have is him, he's enough. Let's stand together. Thank you for listening. Realize this message, I hope, is something we take home. But there may be somebody who needs to pray about something. Maybe someone who needs some grace for the hour you're in. Maybe you know somebody else you'd like to come pray for them. You mind the Lord, if you'll listen, I believe he'll tell you what to do. So let's listen to him. Father, I'm glad that when I don't know where you're at or what you're doing, you're still trustworthy. May we lean heavily on you and trust you when the day is dark and the way gets weary. I know you're enough by yourself. Teach us, Lord, how to rely on you. May we do like Job. Make sure we walk with you no matter what. Touch anyone who's here that needs to pray. Draw them, Lord, and help them. I'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.